Going to talk about dollars and cents here as it relates to something called the Washington Paid Family Leave Law. And I know my predecessor, John Carlson, here on the morning show had talked about some of the flaws with this Washington Paid Family Leave Law. Another round of that. And it all revolves around how much workers are all paying in versus how many people are applying for the paid family leave law here in the state of Washington and then drawing out money. And the money is not coming in from your paycheck and my paycheck. We're all paying for it. It was just mandated. That's another reason why affordability and cost of living is so bad here, particularly in Western Washington. You get forced to pay into a program like this. Maybe you'll use it. Maybe you won't. But just because you're forced to pay into it, you know, now that's a little bit less money that you have coming into your bank account and your cash stack. So the Washington State Standard political news website has reported on the status of the Washington Paid Family Leave Law heading toward a fiscal cliff. And they say that in 2029, without any changes to how this is all formulated under state government, this was adopted by the Democrats and the majority in the Olympia legislature and passed into law, signed into law by Governor Jay Inslee before he left office. By 2029, if there are no changes to the paid family leave law, the state could be looking at a regular $350 million deficit just on this program alone. And to fix that $350 million deficit, you'd either have to be talking about taking more money out of a worker's paycheck or lowering how much somebody gets to be paid if they need to take family leave under this paid family leave law. Joining me to talk about this is a Republican state senator from Yakima, Curtis King. Senator King, thank you for coming on the morning ride to talk to me about what's going on with this paid family leave law.
Well, Phil, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, you've kind of seen how this has all played out in the Olympia legislature. And the general idea was to create essentially an unemployment program for people, but couch it as you get paid family leave. Let's kind of give people the overview. What qualifies somebody to take paid family leave? Is this for like caring for a sick family member, being a caregiver and a newborn baby and stuff like that? Are there other examples of what apply?
Yeah, it is just that. It's you're supposed to be able to take paid time off for serious health issues or to care for a family member or to have a baby or to, you know, take care of a new child, even an adopted child. That was the program, and it was mainly aimed at helping, you know, the lower to what I would say maybe the lower middle income as well, to give them an opportunity to do these types of things. We're finding that that's really not the case, but the main concern is the cost. When this first program was first implemented, it was at 0.4% is what you were paying in. That immediately or almost immediately went to 0.8, so it doubled. And now they're telling us that it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.13% next year, and that, as you have said, in 2029, it's going to be $350 million in the hole because we have a cap on. The maximum you can take out is 1.2%. Which is a good thing. I mean, we need to look at, you know, just how easy it is to use this program, and are people really using it for the purposes that it was designed for? I'm finding businesses now that have called me and said, you know, business owners that I go to lunch on a Friday. And I come back, and one or two of my members have decided that they're taking PFML for whatever reasons. And they take it in the afternoon. Well, by law, they should have to take 4 hours then on Monday because you have to take it at 8 hours at a whack. Mm-hmm. But that is going to change in 2026. We drop it to 4 hours. And I think all that is going to do is get more people to use it. So we're just compounding the issue here.
So the law passed in 2020, and it's had to be tweaked several times because it's, you know, either kind of a work in progress, or the people who crafted the law just crafted something that, I guess, wasn't ready for actual application in the real world. So what we're looking at now is with this projection for the year 2029, that there would have to be more wholesale changes to this. So is this a function of, do we ask people to take less in the benefit, Senator? Or do we say that, okay, everyone has to pay more money in if this many people are going to be asking for paid family leave? What do you think is the better remedy based on that?
Well, I would tell you that the better remedy is not to remove that cap. I really can't support going beyond 1.2% because we also have then Washington long-term care kicking in in 2026. And that's going to take 0.57 or 0.58 out of your check as well. So now we're getting close to 2%. You take, and I don't believe that 0.57 for long-term care is going to stay there very long, just as it did with paid family and medical leave. So I think what we have to look at is what are the benefits here? So right now you can take up to 12 weeks. You know, I think we need to look at maybe reducing that down to 8 or 10. We need to look at those kinds of things. Because the other aspect of this is, I'm sitting here right now, I'm looking at a list of new tax or increased taxes or new taxes that were passed this last year. There's 19 of them. 19 new taxes or increased taxes that are coming or have already been implemented. Some of them don't implement until January of next year and beyond. But we're hitting people with all of these taxes. And now you're going to say, well, we're going to increase we're going to take out of your check for PFML. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. And what you find out is it is not the lower income people that are using this. It's the people that make $122,000 a year and above. They use this program twice as much as the lower income. In fact, the lower income has dropped from 12% down to 8% of the people using it because they don't get full restitution of their salaries. They get partial. Mm-hmm. And the lower income, I mean, $5 a week makes a difference. And they can't afford to even take that time off because of the fact that they don't get paid their full normal salary. So these are the challenges we have, but I think you have to look at reducing the number of benefits and how we implement that, and to make sure that people are using the program for the purpose it was supposed to be used, and not as a way to just take an extra day off here and there.
So is there any mechanism through state government to either check or audit or make sure that there's no fraud and abuse within this paid medical family leave law that we have?
Well, I'm sure there is, but you can imagine when you're talking about 240,000 people and that's growing that are using the program. How do you check and make sure that they are staying at home and taking care of a loved one or that they've had a baby? And I mean, that one's probably a little easier. And probably one of the more important things, but it's like, how do you do this? There are mechanisms to do it, but they are all so costly, and all that does is put further burden on the program because the program's going to have to pay for that.
And this maxes out at 12 weeks in a given year, or is this over a worker's lifetime, 12 weeks?
You have to have worked 800 and I got it here somewhere, 800 and so many hours a year. Within a year. So once you've worked 800 and some hours, then you're eligible. you know, an event, I believe you have to work another 800 hours and then you're eligible. So, I mean, it's those kinds of things that I think we have to look at. Should we make that 1,000 hours? I mean, you don't even have to work half a year to be eligible for this program.
To then get three months off.
We gotta look at these things. Yeah.
Huh. So, Senator King, this seems to be an example, and there are many, of the Democrats that have been in control of politics at the city, county, state level around Western Washington. I know you're in Yakima. It's not necessarily as applicable to your situation representing Yakima in the state Senate down in Olympia. But Democrats have this track record of promising things and then not being able to deliver on them. And we've seen it with the Climate Commitment Act, where we've now got a lawsuit against the state for not posting about reductions or where the actual numbers are on carbon emissions, even though the state is taxing carbon at a higher rate now to pay for reduction in carbon emissions, ostensibly. We got a lawsuit over that. We've got examples of mass transit where tax goes up to build something for mass transit, and then boom, all of a sudden the price goes through the roof, and either the voters got lowballed on something or the planners for a mass transit project like Seattle Sound Transit Light Rail, the price goes through the roof because they can't figure out how to plan for actual public works construction and projects and things like that. Or we've got this paid medical family leave law where they promise one thing and then have to either keep making adjustments. The long-term care tax, payroll tax plays into this as well. They have to keep making adjustments because it all doesn't work out. This seems to be another example of Democrats promising something but then failing to deliver. Is that a fair criticism of what's going on with paid family medical leave?
Well, I think that there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, you got to look at the fact that this started out at 0.4%, 0.4 tenths of 1% out of your salary. And here we are, what, 5 years later, 4 years later, and it's going to be tripled, going to be almost 1.2 next year. That's a tripling of what you're taking out of your check to pay for a program that you didn't get a chance to say, yeah, I want to participate in that. You know, I want to pay in. I want to be eligible to do that. You didn't get that opportunity. We just said, we're going to take this. And so far, it's running into problems. I also believe that there's a lot of people that are using it that actually don't meet the criteria. But it's so costly to try and prove that that nobody does it.
And I suppose Democrats in Olympia probably aren't in a hurry to expose or evaluate whether or not this is being used lawfully or within the confines of the system that was constructed.
I think you're exactly right.
Okay.
I mean, it's like they don't want to look at the realities of life, and I think that's where we got to look at what are our options. We have this program, good, bad, or indifferent. We have this program. We can't just keep raising the amount of money we're taking out of a person's check and think that's the right thing to do.
All right. Talking to State Senator Curtis King from Yakima. He's a Republican state senator. This is all about the Washington paid family leave law that structurally, mathematically, is dispensing more money than it's bringing in right now. So with some adjustments are going to have to be made at some point. Senator King, final question was, during the legislative session that just passed earlier in the year, back in January, February, March, April, the Senate ended up passing a bill that would have modified this, but that Senate bill never made it through the House. Why didn't it make it through the House?
Well, my understanding is that when it came over to the House, one of the proposals that they wanted to add on to the program was to raise the cap to 2%, from 1.2% to 2%. And that's where it ran into trouble. And I believe that's what killed the bill over in the House. You're taking 2% of a person's salary for a program that they may never, ever use. It's just mind-boggling to me.
And then if nobody ever uses it, if no one ever applies for the paid family leave that they've been paying in, did they get any sort of money when they retire or anything like that? Or they move out of state?
They're just out of luck.
Wow.
They feel good about helping all the people that have used this. And the other question is, how many people are using this every opportunity that they have? Again, we're going to lower the rate to 4 hours. You have to take 4 hours at a time. You tell me that people aren't going to just, take a half a day off and say, oh, I got to go home and do this, take my father to the doctor's office. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but nobody's going to know. And what is the business supposed to do? You go to lunch, you come back and three of your employees are gone. You know, what does that do to these businesses that are trying to function and create an environment where you have good, well-paying jobs? I mean, they don't think about those kinds of things. The businesses are the ones that are going to, I think, suffer from all of this and the more usage, because there's no requirement that you have to give notice. Like, next week, I'm going to start taking this. I mean, there's none of those requirements. So what's a business supposed to do when their people say, well, I'm taking paid family leave and I'm gone? So,
and that's it, right?
That's it.
Period, the end. Senator Curtis King, a state senator from Yakima. He's a Republican state senator. He's been deeply involved in tracking what goes on with this paid medical family leave bill, paid family leave law that is going to be running into some structural problems for its funding here in the state of Washington, potentially 2027, but certainly by 2029 as well. Senator King, thank you for your time on the morning ride this morning.
Bill, I appreciate the opportunity. Great talking to you.